The words of God given to us today are Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to verse 46. It is page 43 in the New Testament. It is page 43 in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. I will read the words. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The King will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then He will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Amen. Matthew chapter 25 tells us how we are to prepare for heaven, which the Bible continuously talks about. In other words, how to prepare for the final day of our lives that each of us will personally come to face, and the final day of the universe in three parables. The first parable is a story about a 10 virgins who wait for the arrival of the bridegroom with lighted lamps, which appear in verses 1 to 13. The second parable is a story about three servants who were temporarily entrusted with talents that belong to their masters, which appear in verses 14 to 30. In the way that the bridegroom and the master who had went away surely returns, the Lord speaks of how He will surely come again in the third parable, which is our text today. This is from verses 31 to 33. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Today's text begins with the scene of the Son of Man being seated on the throne as the Lord of Judgment. The expression "the Son of Man" was frequently used by Jesus when He referred to Himself. When He warned about the troubles He would be going through in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus referred to Himself as the Son of Man. Now Jesus will return to the earth in the glorious form that He was in when He was with the Father prior to creation. In the same way that He came in a way that no one could have thought of, He will come again in a way that no one can imagine. All people will stand before the Lord who will come again. And among the people who will be standing before the Lord, no one can be accepted, whether you are a Christian, a non-Christian, a Jew, or a Gentile. When the Lord comes again to this earth, then all people will gather before Him, And the text tells us that in the same way that a shepherd separates goat from sheep, the gathered people will be separated to the right and to the left. The word which has been translated as separate means that one puts a demarcation and makes a clear division between the two and separate and distinguish between the two. In Palestine, it is said that the sheep and goats pasture together in the fields, but when the night comes, the sheep are herded back to the sheep pen, and the goats are herded back to the goat pen, so that they are completely separated. The sheep is used as a symbol of righteous people, and the goat is used as a symbol of unrighteous people, in the same way that the sheep and goats are separated to be put in their respective pens. While we live, righteous men live mixed in with unrighteous men, and the grain and the weeds grow together in the same field. But when the time of judgment comes, they will be eternally separated from one another. In the same way that the sheep and the goats stood as a symbol for righteous men and unrighteous men, in the time of ancient Greece, the right side stood for what was honorable and good and symbolized a place of grace and salvation. On the other hand, the left side had a completely opposite meaning. The sheep which is separated to the right will sit at the place of honor, the place of salvation and grace, where Jesus is seated. After separating the sheep and goats, the Lord spoke as a king or as a judge to those who were standing to his right. This is from verses 34 to 36. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." The Lord called those who are at his right side as those who are blessed by my Father. The Greek word for blessed by my Father is in the past a participle in perfect tense and means that these people have already been blessed. This means that they have already been blessed rather than that they will be blessed in the future. And the point at which they were already blessed was when they had looked after the hungry, the thirsty, who are strangers, who are not clothed, who are sick, and who are in prison. It means that they were blessed at the time that they did their good deeds. And we can say that the six good deeds, which appear in verses 35 to 36, are representative of all good deeds that we can do while we're on this earth. To those who did these good deeds, the kingdom which has been prepared for them was given as their inheritance. Even before creation, God had decreed that those who use what God has given them rightly for the sake of his kingdom and his righteousness will inherit his kingdom. In the same way that the servants who worked to earn 5 more talents and 2 more talents received the privilege of sharing in their master's joy, God says that he will give his kingdom as inheritance to those who chose his kingdom and his righteousness. The righteous persons, when they hear Jesus, respond. This is from verses 37 to 39. Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we serve you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" They ask him, when they saw the Lord hungry and thirsty? When was it that they saw him as a stranger? Or when they saw him needing clothes, or when he was sick and was in prison? The Lord praised them for caring for him without ignoring him when he was brought low. But they asked him in return, when was it that they took care of him? The Lord said this to those who asked these questions. The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." The expression, "one of the least of these," means someone who is least of all. It does not mean a person who is small or young. It refers to a person who seems to have nothing and looks shabby and who, therefore, cannot get attention from other people. Jesus uses the same logic here as when he rebuked Paul when he persecuted Christians for persecuting him. In the same way that Jesus identified with brothers and sisters who are being persecuted by Saul as himself, so he says to the righteous people, "When you looked after people who were brought down low, you looked after me. It is something you did to me." During our Wednesday Bible study last week, we reflected on Jonathan, who came to see David, who was hiding in the bushes of wilderness. Jonathan not only encouraged David to rely on the strength of God, but gave him courage so that he could escape to safety. Jonathan looked after David so that David, who was facing trials, could gain strength in God and do everything that he did before God. But most people treasure what looks good to eat, what looks good, the objects of desire that seems to bring wisdom. People treasure those who will benefit them. They look for people who give them joy and who fill their needs. But the sheep of today's text paid attention to what the Lord was interested in. Dr. Schweitzer got on a train to leave Africa for a bit and go to Denmark to receive the Nobel Prize. The reporters from all over the world got on the same train, and they looked for him at the VIP car. But the reporters failed to find him after going through the VIP car, the first-class car, and the second-class car. They discovered Dr. Schweitzer speaking with an old country folks, sitting on an apple crate with them in the third-class carriage. One reporter asked him, "This must be tiring for you. Why are you riding in the third-class car?" It is said that Dr. Schweitzer answered, "I don't seek out places which is more comfortable, but places which needs me. The people riding in the VIP car does not need me." Most people like what is big and desirable and looks good. It's difficult to seek out vulnerable people the way Dr. Schweitzer did. And to the righteous people who did what most people cannot easily do, the Lord says how they treated the least of them is the same as how they treated the Lord. Serving the least of people in the world was regarded the same as having mercy upon Jesus Christ, who is the greatest of all. In the early church, Christians knew how to share their lives. They gave up their material possessions so that they could become common property, and they looked after members who were at the margins and were poor in the faith community. The early Christians of our country also practiced sharing. Their sharing was extended to loving the nation and loving their neighbors. They did so because they knew that this was the way to go forward before God. But what about us today? If we were to diagnose our condition, we have to confess that we have a disability, and a very serious one at that. We have problems with seeing, hearing, and speaking, and in our hearts, there is a disability of arrogance. There is a difference and the Pharisee, who was confident that his religious acts made his life perfect, and offered a prayer that revealed his righteousness. And a tax collector who could not even look up and beat on his breast and offered a prayer of confession of sins. The difference is in the arrogance. One of the most difficult bad traits to get over is arrogance. Arrogance is at the root of all evils. Arrogance is a false glory and leads us to vanity. This arrogance turns us into visually disabled and makes us suffer a severe hearing and speaking disabilities. What is special about arrogance is that it blocks us from listening to others. It leads us to ignore our neighbors, prevents us from seeing the hardships of our neighbors. It disables from comforting others who are in pain. If you have a problem with hearing, one keeps talking and becomes busy in making oneself look good. Everything is just one way, and such a person does not try to communicate both ways or try to slow down. And when you have a problem with sight, you cannot see things the way they are. You can only see what is wrong with other people. Because of prejudices that are created by such distortion, one falls prey to self-inflicted pain. When one has a problem with speech, one comes to enjoy talking only about faults and shortcomings of others rather than saying good things about them. One goes further to engage in verbal abuse with rough words and emotionally charged criticisms. What disabilities are you suffering from? We must diagnose ourselves so that we can remove the disabilities of our bodies and hearts. Now, there's a story about a pastor who overcame his disabilities. Among pastors who were influential during the 1970s and 80s, there was Pastor Robert King. He brought great revival to a large Methodist church, which was located in Cleveland, Ohio, at the age of 38. He was not only good at preaching, but he was also captain of the Cleveland basketball team. Because the basketball team only won when he played, he had to participate in games while he was preaching. He was excellent in many areas. But during one game, he accidentally broke his back, became paralyzed. He quit his ministry. Although he was fine mentally, he had to live as a paralytic. Almost 2 years, he was not even able to go to the bathroom on his own and lived in despair, thinking that his life was over. Then one day, he had a dream. In the dream, he went down to the basement of his house. But there was no basement in his house. As he neared the basement, he saw a guard before the basement door. He asked the guard whether the house ever had a basement. And the guard said, "Pastor, there always was a basement, but you never once came down." The pastor, when he went inside, was surprised again. The basement was huge, and there were many rooms. The pastor, surprised again that each room was decorated beautifully, asked the guard, "Were there this many gorgeous rooms at our house?" And the guard answered, "These rooms were here before, but you never once came down." Upon hearing this answer, the pastor awoke. He thought over the dream again and again, but he couldn't understand what the dream meant. After some soul-searching, he called a car and went to a dream lab. The dream lab, when they heard the story, said, "You think your life ended with despair, but the dream shows that there are treasures inside of you that you have never once used. It is telling you that you have to start using these rooms." Encouraged by the story told him by the dream lab, he completed recovery after 1 year and 8 months. And for 20 years thereafter, he lived as a preacher. If we have made ourselves carry a disability because of our arrogance, the Lord says to us, we should conquer that disability and use the amazing treasures that the Lord has hidden in us, just like the way Pastor Robert King conquered his paralytic body, realizing that there were numerous treasures that God had given him despite the despair he felt. Arrogance turns us into people with disabilities so that we associate with people who are only beneficial to me, who are helpful to me. But humility cures arrogance. The Lord holds on to people who are humble and gives His grace to people who are humble. A humble person listens with deep attention to what others say rather than to what he or she says. They look at everything without prejudice, and humility allows us to have eyes that can look inside rather than only outside. When we pull out this treasure called humility, which was hidden in the basement of our inner selves, something we had never once looked at before, we can heal our arrogance. A humble person is not ashamed of his or her deficiencies and weaknesses. He or she does not try to hide it because they believe in the mercy of God. Because they're aware that they're lacking, they have the attitude of wanting to learn and therefore is open to limitless potential. A humble person is not loud. He does quiet, good deeds so that his or her left hand does not know what his or her right hand is doing. He or she is this way because they know that God, who sees in secret, is watching and will recompense them. He or she does not care a whole lot about how other people judge him or her or compliment him or her because this person only wants to become somebody who God considers to be after his heart. A humble person is always gentle and forgiving because he or she acknowledges that others can be deficient and weak the way he or she is. Humility is the very measurement of the inner depth and qualities of a person. A person who has yet to mature likes to show off and openly brag about him or herself. If what is inside is not all that great, then what becomes important is the packaging. A person, a family, a community that lacks inner worth will put emphasis on glamour, what is showy, and loud projects or publicity. A mature person or a strong community does not need to brag, does not need to embellish. His or her depth or its depth will be revealed naturally. A person, a family, or a community which has matured well, in the words of God, is always humble. We, as individual, as a community, must always strive for humility. Without humility, we cannot obey God's words. Obedience comes from hearing, and the hearing results in response. When we listen with humility and response, the glory of God will be revealed evermore through us. God came down as a man. Why did God come down as a man? It is because He loves us. Everything that we do without the love of God has no value to God. This is what the Lord says to people who lived without any regard to God's love. Then He will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." To the people to his left, in verse 41, the Lord called them the cursed. In the same way that the expression "blessed by my Father" is in the past participle in perfect tense, the expression "you who are cursed" is also in the perfect tense and past participle. This tells us that the people on the left were placed under curse from the very moment that they failed to act out mercy and act out of graciousness when they should have. The result of failing to act in mercy to those who are in pain is the eternal punishment which is prepared for the devil and his angels. The word "eternal" means something that has no beginning and the end, something that continues without an end. What is peculiar of a people who cannot escape from the punishment that they fail to love the least among them? It is not that they proactively did something that was evil. What they're guilty of is having been negligent in doing their duties and having failed to do good, which was expected from them. This is the same logic behind the story of the foolish five virgins who could not go into the wedding banquet because they failed to prepare extra oil that they should have prepared. And this is the same logic behind the story of the servant who received one talent and had that one talent taken away from him because he did not proactively use it. If there are some of us who are breathing a sigh of relief because they cannot think of having proactively done something bad, then we must remember that we are no different from goats who are standing at the left side of the Lord. The expression "not look after" in verse 43 means "did not visit." The Lord visited the lowly persons of this earth personally. He participated in their sufferings and saved them from their misery. But the unrighteous were indifferent to the sufferings of others. This charges the unrighteous people as having lived their lives with hearts that were the opposite of the heart of the Lord. And living with the hearts that is the opposite of the Lord means, ultimately, that one is indifferent to the will of God. That one is indifferent to the will of God is the same thing as saying that one believes in God, but in truth believes in oneself and not in God. Jesus prayed that Father God's will be done, and he took up the cross in accordance with the will of God the Father. But the unrighteous could not. The persons who lived lives that had nothing to do with the will of God roughly protested, "When did we fail to do this to you?" But they did not realize the very thing that they were protesting was the very standard by which they were being judged. The words of God given to us today is not a message for unbelievers. These words are directed at us who pretend to be Christians like weeds. It is when we become humble in the Lord that we can acknowledge the person whom I think is least is the same as me. It is then that we are genuinely able to embrace our brothers and sisters. It is only when we are humble that we do not sit on the seat of God. There is a famous saying of Dr. Schweitzer, "I do not know your fate, but I do know one thing. The person who is capable of being genuinely happy is someone who continuously searched how to serve others and understood it." Only humility leads us to live lives that serve others in love. Humility is the only and the strongest tool that leads us to God and lays the groundwork for our obedience. We have become distant from God because of our disobedience, but we can return to the Lord through obedience as a weapon. What makes this obedience possible is humility. In the same way that amazing treasures which were never seen by Pastor Robert King was inside of him, there are these amazing riches which we have not yet discovered in ourselves. This treasure will allow us to see the least people among us. This treasure will make us realize that we are no different from the persons we see as being the least among us. This treasure will make me confess that I am the weed and a goat. This treasure will make me understand that the love of Christ has saved me. And only those who understand the salvation of Christ will know that while we have came from the Lord and experienced the grace of returning what we have to the Lord. I pray that in every moment of our members' lives, there will be the grace of the compliment from the Lord you did for me during the coming week. Let us pray. Father God, When the Lord comes again, we will stand before the Lord so that we will not regret an arrogant life in which we lived according to what profits us. Help us to stand again. You have let us know that there are things that we can do for the Lord today, whether it is us as persons or as the entire universe, when one day, when we stand before you, may we all hear your voice saying to us, "Thank you for taking care of the least of my brothers and sisters." I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.